President Cyril Ramaphosa issued his weekly letter to the nation today. It's something he's pledged to do, which he started last week. At the top of his letter, he says the state visit to South Africa by President Muhammadu Buhari of Nigeria was a success, despite fears among some that it would be a diplomatic nightmare following violence unleashed against African foreign nationals recently. He said that both he and President Buhari believed in the future prosperity of Africa and would be working on ensuring that the two countries have strong relations at an economic, trade, social, political, diplomatic, and people-to-people level. The president noted that, in fact, South Africa's future lies within the African continent. Well, to unpack this week's letter a little bit, I'm joined on the line by Professor Raymond Parsons. He's from the Northwest University Business School. Thanks very much, Professor, for joining us. So political will counts for a lot, and I suppose it's positive that out of the president's letter, he indicates a keenness for Africa's two major powerhouses to work together for the betterment of the overall continent.
Yes, good evening to you. Look, I think at the outset, we should welcome this letter from the president, which is now being issued every week. It's a valuable insight into how he sees certain things and certain development has been a part. And as you indicate, this week has been devoted very much to South Africa in the African continent in general, and also in particular, last week's meeting with President Buhari from Nigeria. And I would just single out three issues that I think are important, which for me emerge from this letter. The first is that quite clearly there was a frank recognition of the impact of the violence and the xenophobia in South Africa, which has put a strain on our relationships with other African countries, in particular Nigeria. And this was an opportunity to clear the air and to give mutual assurances as to how these issues will be dealt with in future. And then secondly, I thought it was important that it highlighted the potential of the African Continental Free Trade Agreement as a future game changer for the economic integration of Africa over time. I think that was a certainly important point in this letter. And the third, of course, very realistically to say, that's our vision, that's what we want, is a free trade area for Africa over time, that there are conditions that have to be put in place, there are challenges we have to meet if we want to make a success of this free trade agreement. So I think that really the basic message of the letter was how we can develop the potential and the opportunities of doing more business in Africa.
Yes. Okay. Well, we'll drill down on some of those aspects in a while. But in terms of the socioeconomic issues on the ground and people's concerns around foreigners taking their jobs, concerns about some people from certain nations being involved in drugs and so on and peddling them amongst our youth and all of that, I suppose it's going to be quite difficult to translate the diplomatic schmoozing that happens up there among our political leaders to the ground where a certain level of mistrust continues to play out.
Well, exactly. But that is why our leaders have to meet. And we are taking on, of course, we're taking on the leadership of the African Union shortly. This is all an opportunity to try and create a better environment. Yes, of course, you understand there are conflicts. There are areas where people feel they are worse off because of what's happening. But all this comes back to the message of whether it is South Africa or Africa, you want an expanding economy. You want an economy which, instead of being a zero-sum game, I have a job, you don't have a job. I have a business, you don't have a business. As you try and make it a win-win situation and say, well, if we can get growth in South Africa beyond its 0.6%, which is way below Africa's 4%, by the way, process, join hands over time with the rest of Africa to get more economic integration in Africa. Bear in mind that the intra-trade obstacles are bigger in Africa than the obstacles with the rest of the world. So there's a huge challenge here, and this is a great opportunity, which, with diplomacy and leadership, we can then say, over time, we can make everyone better off if we can join hands economically and work out a greater process of economic integration and upliftment for everyone over time.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a big challenge. I mean, quite clearly, the letter of the president is very candid. It says, that's our vision, but to translate it into reality, we'll have to take some tough decisions and do some tough things.
Yes. Professor, the President mentions that a joint ministerial advisory council on industry, trade and investment has been established to better aid in the facilitation of business between South Africa and Nigeria. There's clearly an appetite to explore on both sides, but there still appear to be blockages in terms of investment. What do you see as some of the key blockages for South African investors to invest into Nigeria? And I'm sure, you know, the series of events that we've seen with MTN and the authorities out there in Nigeria, for example, have left a bit of a bitter taste for potential business investors.
Well, that's right. And I mean, that is why, once again, these top-level meetings are important from the point of view that if they begin to unblock what are these obstacles and create a structure, as we've done here, to say, look, we are going to create a structure that will address these obstacles. Because, as I said, whether you're only talking about South Africa and Nigeria, or South Africa and Nigeria in the rest of Africa, there is a commonality among some of the issues that need to be tackled, whether it's infrastructure, you need transport facilities to be able to move goods, you want to streamline, of course, regulations between countries. As an example, there's been a proposal that we should have a trade visa in order to expedite these transactions between countries. And generally, to say to ourselves as South Africans, irrespective of Nigeria and the rest, that we need to be competitive in order to ensure that we can promote also our economic interests, whether in Nigeria or elsewhere. And then, which I took out in preparation for talking to you, show that we've been losing ground. We haven't been as competitive in Africa as we should have been, and the numbers are showing we could do a lot better. So I think mutually and competitively, there is a lot we've got to do in order to build on the sort of meeting that you had last week and translate it into tangible changes, not only at the macro level, but as you rightly say, that at the end of the day, it means better jobs and more business opportunities for many people on the ground, whether in South Africa or with our neighbours.
Yes. So the President says that as South Africa looks to take the chairmanship of the African Union, which you've already touched on, it will help in steering the necessary framework that will be needed around the rules and regulations of an African continental free trade area. What do you expect will be some of the building blocks in that process? Because it just seems like a very big concept. What, you know, considerations need to be made as they build those frameworks?
I think it's very important to say we have a vision which we've signed up to. That is a free trade agreement for the continent. But we know, as you rightly say, there are building blocks which have to be put into place, whether it's infrastructure, it's electricity, it's transport, it's visa requirements, trying to reduce the transaction costs of doing business within Africa, and above all, to understand that when we collaborate, we can make it a win-win situation, can collaborate on trade and on investment. On the other hand, if we just bow down to these obstacles, we're denying ourselves a huge opportunity of what the potential is for the African market. And I think the important point now is not to develop institutions and structures that merely end up being talking shops, but nonetheless say we are going to dedicate these structures to unblocking those obstacles that prevent us from getting more economic integration in Africa, from joining hands and really pushing the continent forward in a way that has never been pushed forward before. And I think that these are the ingredients. These are the first steps we can take. That's the important challenge. We need to build on it so that we can transform the economic outlook of the continent, not only of South Africa.
Yeah. Professor, I'm coming back to the issue you raised around how we as South Africa haven't really done so well relative to our African peers. I mean, the President spoke about how South Africa has already established industry, developed road, rail, port and energy infrastructure. And of course, the benefit of our deep financial markets makes us well placed to easily take advantage of the game changing benefits that would come with the free trade area. While this may be true, and indeed it is true, surely the nation can't afford to rest on its laurels, can it?
Well, look, I think the point is we are well placed, but we need to be better placed. We clearly, for example, in his letter, in fact, the President very candidly says, look, our growth rate is not where the average African growth rate is. As I said earlier, Africa's growing at an average of 4%. Some of them, smaller countries from a low base, are growing at 7 and 8%. We are sitting in a low growth trap of 0.6%. So I think that's already a point of departure. But then, as I said to you earlier, if you look at very harshly at some of the market shares, for example, of SADC, of COMESA, and ECOWAS, I've looked at the numbers, and it looks as if our share of that trade has been declining. That means we're not as competitive as we ought to be. We ought to be better placed. So this, of course, is part of what we're talking about now in terms of the National Treasury's growth plan. What are we going to do about our state-owned enterprises? For example, if you take electricity or indeed Transnet, if they don't function properly, we can't play our part in expanding the infrastructure of Africa. So there's a big responsibility on us, not only because we want Africa, but because we want to succeed and obviously want to maximize our role as a big player in Africa. And so I think we've got to build on what we've done. We've got to understand we cannot be complacent, and we've got to accept that we've lost ground, which we now have to regain, so that in terms of the president's letter, we will play our maximum part in the development of Africa.
Okay, Professor. Thank you very much for that positivity. That was Professor Raymond Parsons. He's from the Northwest University Business School.